ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
In the stash spot, I can fill up a bus. Got gorillas with us, got chinchillas with us, no pretenders with us, got the winners with us. Yeah,
another day we gotta get it.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 167 of the report, and right now we chopping it up. Not even chopping it up, but we listening to some 2 Chainz, man, that pretty girls like trap music. Door swinging, man. Rock with your boy.
Can't forget how I had the door swinging. Can't forget how I fucking had the door swinging. Somebody watching the front door. Yeah, I went to college. It's so dope. Sold narcotics, boatload. And all us felons and can't vote. Huh. Yeah, I'm from the cut, I'm cut dope. Yeah, all up in the crowd, Frank Lucas fur coat. Yeah, sipping muddy like a motherfucking Merlot. I stayed on the first floor, wait, first 48, hard to see my face.
Yes, indeed, man. We chilling out. It's a Thursday night, 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, man. Chilling out here, man. Like, it's been a long week. Even with the holiday, it's been a long motherfucking week, man. So I'm just chilling out, relaxing. Looking to talk to you guys, man. It's been a minute. It's been since Sunday. I talked to you guys Sunday before the holiday, man. And whole lot of stuff going on. So we're going to talk about it tonight here on the Span Report, man. Real talk. But of course, before I get into all of that, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those messages here on the show, respond on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails, man, and I'll read those emails here live on the show as well. You can also hit me up on the Twitters, man. The Twitter streets is like talking. You can hit your boy up on Twitter. My name on Twitter and Instagram, actually, is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week about whatever it is you want to talk about. Let's see, what else we got, man? We got the fan page on Facebook, man. Go ahead and like the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. A lot of the stuff that shows up on Twitter usually ends up on that fan page on Facebook if you're not on Twitter. So go ahead and like that Mr. Span fan page if you feel so inclined. Also, 5-star views on iTunes and on Stitcher are very much appreciated, man. Those get read here on the show, and it helps spread the word, man. So for those of you who are fucking with us over here at the Span Report Podcast, you like what we got going on over here, go ahead and spread the word. Chop it up with that 5-star review, man. Let other people know the good thing that you see or the good thing that you hear over here at the Span Report. On those platforms, man, Stitcher and or iTunes. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. vote in the polls, leave comments on the episodes. You can buy t-shirts there. You can donate to the show there. Pretty much everything is available at thespanreport.com, man. So go there for everything Span Report related, man. Real talk. And yeah, that is the whole spiel, as we say, right? So yeah, man. It's been a few days, man, since I last talked to y'all, man. We've had a holiday kind of come through. And I know I've seen like a lot of pictures of y'all barbecuing, man, and enjoying this holiday and whatnot, man. Shout out to everybody who actually had Monday off. Like, real talk, y'all was some lucky song bitches, because I had to go to work Monday. It was some bullshit. Real talk, man, because I've been like kind of working 6 days a week. So like, you know, it's been one of those things where like I didn't even sign up for like overtime this week. But like, I was really kind of looking forward to having Monday off. I went to go look at the calendar to see if I had the day off. And because, you know, it's a union shop and, you know, the vacation stuff kind of goes by seniority. And I thought I had, you know, enough seniority to pull it. But nah, your man Span didn't have enough seniority to pull it. I couldn't get the third off, bro. It was some bullshit. I was second on the list to have that day off, bro. And I couldn't get it. So next year I'm going to have it, because they done elevated a couple brothers. Like, so I'm like, yo, you know what? Since those dudes are now general fitters and I'm just like a flat out just fitter. Yeah, I'll be a fitter, but I'm also going to be a fitter who's getting these fucking days off that I won't come next year because these other motherfuckers decided they wanted to get an elevation. So yeah, I'm going to get next year off, man. I'm going to have that off. Real talk. Right? So yeah, man, that's been going on, man. Now, before I kind of get into like the 4th of July shit, though, I did have a few random thoughts that were like kind of swirling around in my brain, man. And I kind of felt like I should share them with you guys. Maybe see if, you know, you guys have thought about these things at some point in time yourselves, man. I was wondering, like, you know, because sometimes I listen to the radio. Every now and again, I might listen to like some, you know, some urban contemporary kind of shit, man. Like, you know, I'm a little older now, man. So like a lot of the shit that I really like is on the oldie station and shit, right? A lot of the stuff, like if you're in Detroit, like you're listening to Mix 92.3 FM or some shit like that, right? But, you know, the thing that's funny to me, man, when I'm listening to like, you know, stations like that, it like, I start thinking to, like, here's the thing. Are all black stations using the same announcer, dude? Like, am I the only one who's thought that? Like you ever been listening to the radio and, like, there's this fucking, like, there's, like, maybe a black stage play coming to town or something, and, like, dude comes on the radio, he's like, and coming to the stage on In Your Town, Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God, with Little G from Silk and Genuine from TGT and Tamala Mann from Medea Goes to the Pawn Shop. Like, it's that same dude every fucking time. Like, and I know it's the same dude. Like, it's got to be the same dude, because it's been like that in every city I've been to. Like, you go to Nashville, same guy. Chicago, same guy. Detroit, same guy. Atlanta, same guy. Las Vegas, same guy. DC, same guy. Like, a whole lot of towns that I've been in, that same dude is out here announcing shit. So he'd be like, you know, if there's like a, like, not even just stage plays, like if there's a concert coming to your town, like, you know, the Dirty Mac Tour featuring Joe and Trey Songz and special guest Charlie Wilson. Like, it's the same dude. Like, every time. And he says that shit the exact same fucking way, man. And it, you know what? It was funny because I almost like kind of thought that he might be like a white guy, right? It could be a white dude. And the reason why I say it could be a white dude is because one time I went to this strip club in downtown Detroit. It's called Bazooki. And I don't know if Bazooki is still open. It's been so long since I actually went to a strip club. But I went to Bazooki downtown Detroit, and like the dude was like DJing, and he was like, give it up for my ladies. Come on, fellas, tip them well. Like, come on, bro. Like, is it the same thing? Like, you don't have anything else. Like, your shtick is like getting real tired with me, bro. Like, come on, man, do something different. Come on, do something different for me. But I've been wondering, are all these black radio stations using the same goddamn announcer, dude? Let me know. You know, somebody may actually work in radio. I should ask my cousin, but like, yo, if somebody is actually working in radio and you maybe know the dude, like, yo, link him up with the Spare Report so we can talk about this shit. Real talk, that would actually be pretty cool, like, to have that dude on and ask him about some of the shit that he's getting asked to read over these fucking over these airways, man. Real talk. Another thing too that I was kind of thinking about, and this maybe not so much like funny, but this is something that I was really kind of thinking about over the course of the last few days, man. You know, like, we've been seeing so many different voices on, like, say for instance, Twitter and Facebook, like, kind of be silenced. And when I say silence, it's like, yo, people are getting banned out of their accounts. They're being put in Facebook and Twitter jail for like 3 days at a time, or 5 days at a time, or, you know, maybe 30 days at a time. And folks are having to come up with, like, you know, backup accounts and shit. Like, I know my boy Rod over at the Black Guy Who Tips has actually been banned out of his account before. I hear Mr. Gates has been banned out of his account or something like that. Like lots of people are being banned out of their accounts. And, you know, even like, you know, a lot of like organizers, like activists and things like that are finding themselves being harassed by racists and whatnot on Facebook. And in their response to the racists are actually being punished themselves just by responding to these racist motherfuckers. And so one of the things that I was kind of wondering, man, is like, yo, man, with, you know, yeah, we got Facebook and we got Twitter, but with all this shit going on and with the silencing of these, like, these voices, I'm wondering, as a family, have we ever considered, like, making Black Planet pop again? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, that really was kind of our shit for a minute, like in the early 2000s, man. Like, Black Planet was popping, nigga. Like, that was the shit, nigga. I remember when Black Planet first started. Like, my girlfriend in college at the time, like, she told me about Black Planet. I used to use Black Voices. Y'all remember Black Voices before Huffington Post bought them up and shit? Like, Black Voices used to be like chat rooms and stuff like that, and it was just basically like a whole lot of little black news and whatnot. I learned how to type in them damn chat rooms. Can you believe that? That's really how you get, you gotta, when you in those little chat rooms, for those of you who are old enough to go through like chat rooms and shit, chat rooms is how I learned how to type. Like, I remember going through typing and shit when I was in like middle school or whatever, and thinking to myself at the time, I was 13, man, come on, you gotta give your boy credit. Well, not even credit, but just understand I was 13. But at 13, man, I just didn't think that typing was going to be something that I needed. Now, I could not do without this fucking this skill. Like, I type more than I actually write shit down. That's how bad it's getting. My handwriting has gotten progressively worse because I type more than I actually write. And so, like, I can remember being in those chat rooms and you're trying to talk to people, but you got to be fast. And if you're not fast, then, you know, people can't follow the conversation. People can't follow what you're saying because they're not about to keep scrolling up to see what you're saying because you're typing too goddamn slow. So I had to learn how to type through the chat rooms, and I learned that on Black Voices. But going back to Black Planet, like, yo, Black Planet is still there, y'all. Real talk, like, I still remember like my logins and shit. Like, Black Planet is still there. Like, my page is still there. I still, every now and again, I'll get an email alert saying that I got a note from somebody on Black Planet or something like that. And I remember I used to be like a real, I used to frequent the news forums in Black Planet. Like, there was a thing where, like, you know, the news forums was kind of like the threads that we see on Twitter and stuff like that today. The news forums on Black Planet were something similar to that now. And I'm just kind of wondering, man, like, yo, it's, maybe we should go back to our own shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not only that, we know it's black owned, like, it's owned by Interactive One, which is a subsidiary of Radio One, TV One, Kathy Hughes, like that whole thing. Like, it's a black owned entity. It's already a social network. It's already got like thousands of users, but everybody just kind of abandoned shit because other stuff came along. You know what I'm saying? But like, yo, with all of the shit that's going on with the silencing of black people and black voices on these other spaces, just kind of thinking, man, yo, maybe we should probably go back to Black Planet and make that shit pop again. Just something I was thinking about, man. I don't know. Maybe y'all can like commiserate amongst yourselves with that one. I don't know. Right? Now, another thing, man, that I actually got to credit Rod over at Black Guy Who Tips with this one, man, because this is something that, like, I was thinking cursorily. I don't even know if that's really a word, but I was kind of thinking about it a little bit, and like Rod said something about it on his show, I want to say Saturday or something like that, I can't remember, but this is actually something that I have been thinking about, you know what I'm saying, because I remember how big an issue this was just last year around this exact same time, and that is the issue of transgender people using the bathrooms that they identify with, right? And I'm wondering at this point, because transgender people are still using the bathrooms that they identify with after they, all these laws and all this other shit has kind of come up. Where's all these rapes? Where's all these assaults that are happening? Can anybody like point to any instances of rapes or assaults or you know, anything? Like, can anybody point to any of that stuff right now? Because what I'm starting to notice is like, and it, what I really want to say is this: can all of you who were talking about how much you didn't want these people to be able to use the bathrooms that they identify with admit that you got played last year? And admit that you got played last year by some people who don't really fuck with you anyway, like the Republican Party, that they don't really fuck with you in that way. And they kind of played into a lot of people's fears. They kind of played into a lot of people's misunderstanding or ignorance to the issue. And so they fanned the flames of fear for a lot of people. And ultimately, like, we aren't seeing the crimes associated with transgender people going to these bathrooms where transgenders or transgender people are assaulting people or are raping people or invading the privacy of others. Because you know what? They want their privacy also. A lot of them just want to exist and not have people looking at them like they're a fucking freak. You know what I'm saying? And ironically, like, you know, I put this out on Facebook earlier today, and my aunt said something to the effect of, you know, there was a young lady at one of my younger cousins' school who was assaulted by someone who was posing as a transgender person in the girls' bathroom. And ultimately, the thing with that is that person was not transgender. And it comes at a time where everybody was talking about it. Everybody was making a big to-do about it. Not even understanding that, like, yo, these people have been going to these bathrooms for a long time anyway, right? But at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're punishing people for things that they themselves aren't doing, but for the actions of others. Like, even in that, there's like, yo, this straight person goes into a bathroom for goes into a woman's bathroom and portrays themselves to be transsexual, and then proceeds to commit a crime. Can we honestly just say, like, the problem is predatory straight motherfuckers who are trying to use this as a loophole? Because I don't even think, like, people weren't even thinking about this then. I don't even think, like, the predators were even thinking about that then. You know what I'm saying? Like, when everybody was talking about this last year, I don't even think the predators were thinking about this time last year. They was like, you know what? I never thought of that. These Republicans just gave me a motherfucking idea. I can go in these bathrooms, tell these people I'm transsexual, that I identify as a woman, and boom, I got access to all this shit. They weren't even thinking about it. And not only that, like, now you got Republicans who fanned the flames of all this fear and stuff like that. They ran on that shit. They won a lot of fucking elections. They even got some orange, goofy-looking motherfucker occupying the White House right now. And guess what? They ain't said not a goddamn thing else about it. They didn't give a fuck about that issue then. They don't give a fuck about it now. And a lot of y'all got played. A lot of y'all got played, man. And I think it's kind of like, it's been a year, y'all. Y'all can admit that y'all got played. Real talk, man. Most of the people who are transsexual who are trying to go to the bathroom, but better yet, most transsexuals are victims of these crimes that you guys are purporting yourselves to want to prevent. They are more than likely going to be the victim in that case, not the perpetrator. And so, yeah, man, that was one of the things that kind of like arose in my, like, you know, just kind of swirled around in his brain over here, man. Real talk. Now, yeah, man, 4th of July. 4th of July then came and went. I didn't actually do anything on the 4th of July, man. Like, I most of the stuff that we wanted to do, like, this is our first time, like, me and my wife, you know, the first, like, kind of, like, holidays in the new home and stuff like that. And, you know, we had people over Saturday, like, on the 1st. We didn't have anybody here on, you know, the 4th of July. And, like, my wife had to work and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like, I chilled out, man. I didn't do shit, really. Like, I sat out, I ate, like, leftover barbecue, you know what I'm saying? Like, I watched some shows, man. I got back into some of my video games. I just completed Mafia 3 last night. That shit was lit. Yeah, man, like, it's, I didn't do a whole lot. But you know what? It was interesting because, like, you know, as you guys have listened to me and talk me as I talk about like the 4th of July over the years, man, like I've grown a little bit ornery. I'm starting to become that old dude on the block when it comes to this shit. Like, I don't really like the 4th of July much anymore, man. And part of the reason why I don't like the 4th of July much anymore, man, is like, yo, with the fireworks, yo, like motherfuckers just don't know how to keep the shit to the holiday or even the days surrounding the holiday. Like the 3rd and the 5th. Okay, I get it. Like, you may still have fireworks left on the 5th. I kind of wish you would do a grand finale on the motherfucking 4th. But okay, I get it. You might have some shit left over. Cool. But, yo, man, like, niggas, like, up into, like, will lead it up to, the 4th, man. Like, as early as fucking June 25th, fireworks going off, man. And not only, like, regular-ass firecrackers or M80s or whatever. Like, they sell commercial-grade fucking fireworks in Michigan now, right? Now, there was a there was like a law here in Michigan that made that stuff illegal for a long time, and they changed it in like about 5 years ago because, yo, you know what a lot of people was doing? They was driving down to Ohio and they was driving down to Indiana to go get their asses some fireworks, right? Now, the drives kind of prevented them from like extending this fireworks season for as long as they do, because like, yo, man, I still gotta drive my ass all the way down there. But now the dudes like people can just like get this stuff here now, because, you know, Michigan wants to tax, you know, revenue or whatever. It's like, yo, I can get this stuff now, and like there's tents popping up all over the place. There's like 4 or 5 different tents that popped up around my place where like folks are selling fireworks. I just rolled past these motherfuckers today. They still got a whole goddamn inventory that they're trying to move out. People still out here selling fucking fireworks, yo. It's time to wrap that shit up, B. Like, do you know what? Don't do that shit unless you got like a really big fucking party going on. Like, you know what? We celebrating a wedding up in this bitch. You know what? We got a like a bar mitzvah going on. We're gonna have a fireworks show for that. But like, yo, this random ass, like, yo, I'm gonna set off like 100 fucking firecrackers and shit. Nah, man. Not on no Thursday. Shit's whack, yo. I'm becoming that old dude, man. I'm like, I'm just like that commercial, man. What are those commercials? The progressive commercials were like, I'm slowly becoming my father. I'm slowly becoming my mother. I feel like that. I feel like that, man. So yeah, man, like the 4th of July is slowly like becoming like one of my least favorite fucking holidays, man. And not only that, man, I kind of feel like everybody, I don't know if everybody should be able to buy commercial grade fireworks. I mean, like, when I say commercial grade, I mean like the shit that they have, you know, for like downtown, like fireworks shows and shit. Like, people are able to buy that kind of shit and just have a fireworks thing like popping off in the middle of their street or popping off in like, you know, in a front yard or some shit like that. And like, it ain't exactly the safest fucking thing in the world. But, you know, I get it. Folks want to have fun and everything else, but I just kind of wish they would relegate this shit to like, yo, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, and then after that, we done. Like, I just kind of wish it would be something like that. But, you know, that may be a bit much for folks. Because, like, once you start letting people do certain shit, it's kind of hard to get that fucking toothpaste back in the tube, man. It's like, once that shit is out, like, it's out. You know what I'm saying? Same thing these Republicans are finding out about healthcare, goddamn it. So, yeah, man. Yeah. 4th of July. I'm not a real big fan anymore. You know, and no, you know what? That was another thing too, man. Here's another thing. I'm gonna need y'all to go back to sleep, some of you niggas, man. Some of you niggas need to go back to sleep, because it was weird as fuck, like watching my timeline of niggas like, you know, it's real funny you motherfuckers out here celebrating the 4th, man, when our peoples was, you know, it wasn't no 4th of July for us, you know what I'm saying? And then they got, like, pictures of slaves and shit, like, yeah, this is our 4th of July, 1776, nigga. We was still out here picking cotton, nigga. Y'all out here trying to, like, celebrate, and y'all got fireworks and shit like that. I'm listen, let people have a fucking party, man. Like, real talk, like, you know what I did? I got the day off of fucking work, bruh. I'm chilling. I'm celebrating that. I'm celebrating that I got the fucking day off of work, nigga. I ain't got to be in there worried about shit, nigga. I'm chilling in my crib. I might be barbecuing, nigga. I like ribs, dog. Ribs are fucking tasty, nigga. I like ribs. Let me enjoy my ribs, nigga. I like listening to smooth jazz, nigga. Let me enjoy my smooth jazz, bro. Like, it ain't gotta always be. You ain't always gotta be so woke. And it's always like, the funny thing about it is like, with every fucking holiday is some nigga telling you why why you ain't supposed to celebrate this shit when it comes to Christmas. Well, y'all know Christmas, Jesus' birthday wasn't really on July 25th. I mean, June, God damn it. His birthday wasn't really on December 25th. His birthday is really like, they got it set to the winter solstice, and the Romans did this. And like, who gives a fuck, man? That's not why we, like, stop it. Let people fucking party, bruh. Like, people like, let people have some sort of release, man. Yeah, I get it. There's a place for the education. There's a place for the knowledge. There's a place for, you know, people being aware of certain things. But like, yo, in the midst of we just trying to have a good time, let people try to have a good time. Don't be Sharif on the motherfucking cooler where they trying to get the 40s and shit, man. Talking about I'm trying to keep you people from drinking this poison. Nigga trying to have a good time, man. Like, let that shit be. Like, you can have this conversation all year long, bro. Don't bring that shit around. Don't talk about that shit on the holiday, man. We ain't trying to hear it. Leave people alone. Let them party, man. It's with all the bullshit that we experience here in America, man. For once, we can just say, you know what? Fuck all that shit. I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy my friends. I'm going to enjoy these drinks. I'm going to enjoy this food. And we're going to put that bullshit on the back burner for at least a day. Can niggas have that? You know what I mean? So, like kind of watching my timeline, like with niggas trying to be super duper woke and all that other shit, man. That shit was crazy. You know what? Matter of fact, I kind of forgot about this, man. Like, I was thinking about, like, you know, because, you know, I saw these sorts of things going on, man. And you know, it's like the woke Olympics, man. Everybody, you know, of course, everybody comes into understandings in their own time. And I know I did. I know plenty of other people, you know, you come into your own understandings in your own time. But one of the things that I was thinking about, man, like, and I posed this question on Twitter, and I posed this question on Facebook, and I got a few responses for some folks, and I want to give them some shout-outs and read off these responses that I got, was, what if the woke Olympics was a real thing, right? Like, what if there really was a woke Olympics? And if there really is a woke Olympics, how could, like, what would the events of the woke Olympics be if there really was a woke Olympics? So let me go over here, man. Let me find it. Let me pull this up. Because some of these shits were funny as shit, man. Let me pull this stuff up. And my computer's running slow. Come on, baby. Come on. Don't do this to me now. Oh, man. Live podcasting. Mm-hmm. All right. Where is it? I post a lot of shit on Facebook. Jesus. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. So, these are some of the names of events that some of the people who have responded to me said they would have at the woke Olympics. My man James Pitts Jr. says the Hoteptalon would be an event at the woke Olympics if it was a real thing. Corey Albert says Supreme Mathematics would be another one at the woke Olympics. I said Third Eye Archery would be another event that we can have at the woke Olympics. Corey Albert said Alkaline Water Polo at the woke Olympics. Shane Paul Neal would hit us up with the long jump to conclusions, my nigga. The long jump to conclusions. Somebody else on Twitter actually said something about the high jump of assumptions. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that was another thing. Egyptian bobsledding, man. We got Egyptian bobsledding going on in the woke Olympics. Mental gymnastics is another event that we can have at the woke Olympics. JL Covan hit us up with overcoming societal hurdles up in the woke Olympics, my nigga. Comedic curling. T-Music came up with comedic curling. Ayanna Lugo with the 100 Ankh Dash in the woke Olympics. Jerry Williams hit us with the women's no menstrual cycling here in the woke Olympics, man. Shout out to Yada. Let's see. Michael Wilson hit us up with quoting random black history fact to ruin any black celebration, which we can basically call hyperbolic history B. The hyperbolic history B. You know what I'm saying? And Ayanna hit us again with the Sevi slalom. I'm just saying, like, the woke Olympics, if it was a real thing, man, could probably be really fucking lit, man. But shout out to everybody who provided, you know, who hit me up with answers on that one, man. I thought that was pretty cool, man. Real talk. So yeah, man, let people have a good time, man. God damn. Now, moving on to something a bit more don't know, I guess you could say serious, I guess, man. So there's this thing, right, here in Michigan. And, you know, as you guys know, man, I've talked about this numerous times about my, you know, I'm a Second Amendment proponent, not as, like, rabid about it as at one point in time that I could have been. And even then, like, I would have thought that, you know, the ways that I thought about this were a bit sensible. Even some of the ways in which I think about gun ownership now have, like, I've softened a little, but I still believe in it. But here's the thing, man. So here in Michigan, and I think I may have even talked about this on the show. I don't remember if I talked about this on the show before. So if I have, forgive me, because we're going to talk about this shit again. But here in Michigan, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get it to where you can actually carry a gun here in Michigan concealed with no licensing whatsoever. And so the Michigan House of Representatives actually, they okayed this bill. This passed the Michigan House of Representatives. So all it has to do is go to the Michigan Senate, which is also Republican led, and we have a Republican governor. So yeah, this very well could happen here in Michigan, where you don't need a license to carry a concealed weapon. I'm going to read this story out of the Detroit News. It says any legal firearm owner could carry a concealed gun without a permit or mandatory training under a controversial plan the Michigan House approved Wednesday. The House passed the four bill package in a series of votes, mostly along party lines, that prompted spirited debate. Supporters said it would extend constitutional rights to gun owners, while opponents argued it would endanger public safety without current rules required under the state's 17-year-old concealed carry law. Now, here's my objection to this. When you go and you try to get a concealed carry license here in Michigan, you're required to do a couple things. One, you're required to, I think it's 8 hours of classroom time of actually learning some of the laws pertaining to concealed carry and pistol safety, learning how to actually use your gun, how it functions, how to load it, how to break it down, how to clean it. All of those things, if you've never handled a gun, it's probably prudent for you to take those fucking classes, right? Like, it would be the smart thing to do, would be to take that class, because you don't really know what the hell's going on. You don't really know what the hell you're doing, especially if you don't have any experiences with guns whatsoever. Take the fucking class. But what happens with this is they're making it to where you don't even have to take the class, because that class is required for you to get your licenses here, right? So that's my objection. Like, you're basically allowing anybody to just walk into a gun store, walk into a sporting goods store, and just buy a gun and walk around with it with no training whatsoever. And in the event that something goes off, they don't know what the fuck to do. They don't know how to handle themselves whatsoever. Even some of the people like who have had training don't really know how to handle themselves, won't really know what to do, may freeze up. You know, like, that takes, like, you have to kind of consistently go to the range. You have to consistently kind of train, and you still may not be ready. Let's just keep that 100% honest. Like, you still may not be ready. But what you're doing now is you're opening this up to a whole bunch of people who just want to have a gun for the sake of having a gun, just to say that they got one. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I can have a gun. I can have it and not know anything about it before I go out here amongst the public and carry this weapon with me. Right. So I think that's very dangerous. I think that's not exactly the smartest fucking thing in the world to do. But the Republicans here in Michigan think that it's prudent for us to do this. It goes on to further say that proponents argue that the legislation protects and upholds Second Amendment rights and scraps what they say amounts to a coat tax, a $100 permit application fee, a fingerprint fee, and another $115 every 4 years to renew the license. Required gun training classes can also cost hundreds of dollars, a barrier to exercising a freedom enshrined in the state and federal constitution, gun advocates said. Now, one of the things that I think about this when it comes to, like, the cost of the application fee and the cost of the classes, like, the cost of the classes here in Michigan are actually going down. I've seen classes as low as $60 lately. In certain parts of Detroit, like, you can go to, I'm not going to give these guys a plug, fuck them, but I've seen, like, gun shops where, you know, you can have the pistol safety course given for $60, You know what I'm saying? So, like, the cost of that is going down. But what I would say is this, like, for those who, like, some of our more, low-income residents here in the state who also deserve to have some sort of protection in their home, what I would prefer is that, like, they would lower the cost of some of this so that it's not so cost prohibitive for people who want to do the right thing when it comes to owning a gun can do so. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want it to be like, you know, where, okay, now I got to buy this gun. The gun can be anywhere between $3,000 to $1,000, depending on whatever kind of gun you get. That's a lot of money. $300 to somebody who's working 40 hours a week and they're maybe working like $10 an hour. They're getting $10 an hour and they got to try to make ends meet. Yo, dropping $300 on a fucking gun is a lot of goddamn money. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, now I got to drop another $100 on this class. Now I got to drop another $100 on this application fee. Like, it becomes cost prohibitive to where they can't do it. And they want to be able to protect their home. They want to be able to protect their family. And they want to do it the legal way. So I don't think that we should get rid of these classes. I don't think we should get rid of the regulation. I think we should make the regulation more affordable for people who are who would have trouble paying those exorbitant fees. That's what I think we should do. Don't get rid of the fucking the classes. Don't get rid of the regulation. Make it affordable for people to do it. That's what we should do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's silly, man. Like, with Republicans, like, I don't fucking understand them. I don't understand them. Another thing that's kind of going on, man, with Republicans here in the state of Michigan and, you know, with when it comes to weapons, is the Republicans actually want to repeal the laws that keep people from carrying switchblades. Yeah, man, because what we need in Michigan more of, we need more switchblades. Yeah, that's what we need. We need fucking switchblades. We need to be like in the fucking, I think the Republicans think this is going to be a Michael Jackson bad video. Like, real talk, like, you know I'm bad. That's terrible fucking Michael Jackson. But yeah, man, like, I think that's what they think, man. Like, people gonna be like out here and they gonna be dancing hand in hand and they gonna be like, you know, like, it's not that kind of party, bro. Like, we don't need no fucking switchblades, man. Nobody's out here clamoring for switchblades. Like, yo, man, I really wish I had a switchblade in this moment right now. No, man, you got Gerber tools and shit, man. Like, I got this little Gerber tool. Hold on, let me see. I think I got it right here. Yeah. Uh-oh. Too much shit on this goddamn desk. But yo, check this out, man. I got this little Gerber tool. And this thing has like, it's like a multi-tool, man. I got like fucking like wire cutters and shit on here, man. I got like a saw on here. It's got like, you know, a screwdriver on here. Like, this is more than what most people need and shit. Hell, it's got little scissors and shit. It's got like can openers and bottle openers and shit on it. Like, you don't need a fucking switchblade, bro. Like, you can go get your Gerber tool and be fine. Like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with these people, man. Like, they doing a whole bunch of shit, a lot of dumb shit that, you know, we really don't need switchblades. We don't. We don't need switchblades, and we don't need people out here trying to get them some self, like, walking around with guns that they don't even know how to fucking use and just cause. We just don't, man. So, yeah, that's been going on here in the state of Michigan, man. Now, another thing that's been going on, man, and this isn't necessarily in Michigan, but this is something that I want to speak to, and this actually is a What in Blue Blazes moment. Let me, where's my goddamn music?
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right, so, and What in Blue Blazes, man, we got this story. Let me pull this up, man. We got this story coming out of, where is this? Gettysburg, right? Speaking of guns, man, somebody in Gettysburg shot they fucking self, right? So let me read the story. It's a pro-Confederate patriot mistakenly shoots himself while trying to counter-protest an anti-fascism rally, right? So this comes out of Raw Story, man. It says a self-described patriot who showed up to a counter-protest at an anti-fascism rally that never happened at Gettysburg National Military Park managed to shoot himself with an ancient gun he was packing. According to Fox 43, 23-year-old Benjamin Hornberger showed up to attend a rumored anti-fa rally when his gun went off and the bullet lodged in his thigh. According to the spokesperson for the national park, Hornberger was in an open area to park visitors, but outside of a fence area where some groups have protested previously. Park officials quickly provided medical help to the young Pennsylvanian by applying the tourniquet before he was transported to a local hospital. It looks like he'll be okay, claims U.S. Park Police spokesperson Anna Rose. Now, yeah, you showed up at a you showed up at a anti-fascism rally that wasn't really happening, and you shot yourself. You shot yourself. How in the fuck? Like, how does that even happen? How do you do that? Why are you carrying a gun to a rally, man? What were you afraid of? Seriously, what were you afraid of? And I got, you know what? He voted for Trump, man. I'm sure of it. So it's funny to me because, like, even with, like, with all this dumb, like, here's the thing, man. Like, Trump supporters are really fucking stupid, and I have no qualms about saying that whatsoever. Y'all some dumb motherfuckers, man. But yeah, you show up at an anti-fascism rally. No one was actually there for you to protest against. They didn't even show up, and you still pulled out your gun and you still shot yourself in the fucking leg. It makes no sense, man. And this actually comes on the heels, right? This actually comes on the heels of some other shit that was kind of happening on Twitter, where like NPR was tweeting the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. And a lot of Trump supporters were thinking that the statements that were being made on Twitter by NPR were anti-Trump because they didn't know. I think it was the fucking Declaration of Independence. God damn, y'all are stupid, man. Like, and this is another instance of that. This is another instance of that. So, yeah, man, I thought that was funny. I did, man. I chuckled quite a bit. So yeah. That's a Wooden Blue Blazers moment.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right, man. So, yeah. That happened. Hold on a second. Let me, You know what's funny, man? When you have a barbecue and you buy cheap beer and nobody drinks the shit, so now I'm stuck with like two 24 can cases of fucking Bud Light and Bud Light Select. I don't drink this shit no more, man. I bought this shit because I figured like, yo, they was gonna need something to wet their whistle. I wasn't gonna buy like no Leinenkugels. I wasn't gonna buy like Stella. Like, that's the shit I drank. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm stuck with the Bud Select. So I'm gonna be like knocking these motherfuckers back until they all gone, cause I don't wanna waste my money. Right? So yeah, that's going on. So yeah, here's the thing, man. I titled this episode Dr. Span, right? And one of the reasons why I entitled this episode Dr. Span was because as you guys know, man, like I said, I've been listening to some of the radio over the course of the last few weeks and whatnot, especially like when I'm at work and some, you know, stuff like that. And I've been noticing, like, you know, like The Breakfast Club, which is one of those, like, it's, you know, New York based, radio show. They pretty much like taken over for a lot of Clear Channel affiliate, you know, stations. So like, you know, we used to have like Coco Foolish and Mr. Chase here in Detroit for, you know, the station here. And now it's The Breakfast Club. And I'm hearing like across the country, like The Breakfast Club is pretty much the station or the show that gets played in the morning. And so I've been noticing like the propensity of The Breakfast Club to put a lot of questionable motherfuckers on their airways. And like recently they've had Dr. Umar Johnson, and they've also had Dr. Wesley Muhammad on their show, right? And you know, like, I get it, like, somebody, like, if you're listening to me, you'd be like, what, you know, Span, why can't they have these individuals on their show? And it's like, yo, I'm not telling them that they can't have them on their show. I'm saying that it makes your show lose credibility in my eyes and in a lot of eyes of a lot of people when you have those type of voices on your show quite regularly and quite frequently. And it's not even so much about the fact that they have these guys on the show. I think my biggest beef with the Breakfast Club, when they have people like this on the show, is that they don't challenge them on shit. So they let these guys get on there and they talk a bunch of bullshit, and it goes, you know, it goes unchallenged. As a matter of fact, two of the hosts, fucking DJ Envy and Charlamagne, like both of these dudes, like they cozy up to these charlatan motherfuckers, man. And it gives it to some people. It gives these dudes who are on this show an air of credence because, yo, they're not just letting anybody on the Breakfast Club, right? And so another thing that I've kind of noticed is when it comes to a certain segment of our population, man, it's like they'll believe damn near anything so long as the person telling them the shit has doctor in front of their name, right? You believe any motherfucker thing. Well, he's a doctor. He must know what he's talking about. He's a doctor. Like, you still have, like, you have people like take for instance, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby has honorary degrees. Bill Cosby didn't earn a fucking PhD. He has honorary degrees that were bestowed upon him by various colleges and universities across the country. Why? Because he was giving them money. Bill Cosby isn't a motherfucking doctor. And people still walk around calling him Dr. Cosby. Those same people don't believe that Dr. Cosby was out here slipping chicks Mickeys so he can take sexual advantage of them. Right? They let that shit slide. They believe what's coming out of Dr. Cosby's mouth because Dr. Cosby doesn't have to do these things. Dr. Cosby has money. Dr. Cosby helped raise me. Like all these different things. Like, so they'll let a lot of bullshit slide because doctor, right? Umar Johnson. I think his name is like Jermaine Shoemaker, some shit like that. And he just gave himself this name. He made up Dr. Umar Johnson. And this dude is on, as a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this up. This was a recent, he was recently on The Breakfast Club as early as, I want to say either this week or last week, but he was on there recently. Here's a little snippet of something that he had to say on The Breakfast Club. Check this out.
Thing here, you always had black pride, but when it came to business, it was like, I've heard it a million and one time. That's why you can't deal, no job. With no
in other words, what? The pride is superficial. It's intellectual, but it's not internalized. For example, we had a lot of great scholars. Take my ancestor, Frederick Douglass, who knew their history and still marry white women. How did that happen?
You know, that was real slick. My ancestor, Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass would be considered kind of like everybody's ancestor, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the guy who's been walking around telling people that he's a direct descendant of Frederick Douglass, and the Frederick Douglass family, the real descendants of Frederick Douglass are like, no, we don't know this dude. He ain't got no fucking connection to us. Right? So it was real slick of how, it was a real slick way of him doing that. Like, it's kind of slick, but here we go.
Now, yes, he was an old man. I give him that. His first wife, Anna Marie Douglass, a blue, black, purple, chocolate a woman with nappy hair to 50 years who birthed all of his children. It was after she died that he married the white woman, but nonetheless, he married a white woman. Had Frederick Douglass not married that white woman, he would be undisputably the greatest black leader that ever walked on American soil. But because of that one mistake that he made. But the question again is, why did he do that?
Status.
Because guess
that
what?
That white woman was that caddy truck.
No, you know what I think it was?
What?
I think to some extent, and I can say this, he suffered some of the Barack Obama W.E.B. Du Bois syndrome. And that is when you are mixed racial ancestry, which I don't even like to talk about because 300 years ago, there was no biracial or multiracial. If your father was white or your mother was white, you were still African. See, this is a modern thing, this whole multicultural movement. You never had that. Frederick Douglass was never called biracial. He was never called multiracial. He was called the N-word like the rest of us. There was no separation until the 20th century when America realized that we can use black people against themselves by giving them a new set of identities that allows them to disidentify from each other and identify more appropriately with us. But the point I'm making is the reason Frederick was able to do that is because deep down within himself, he may have still screamed for that validation.
Now, you said mistake.
So, Frederick Douglass got with this white woman, married this white woman because he was screaming for validation from white people, right? Now, Umar Johnson is one of these people who seems to have a problem with, like, relationships that don't really have anything to fucking do with him. Umar Johnson has an issue with interracial relationships. Umar Johnson has an issue with homosexual relationships. It can't be because these people love one another. It can't be because they've grown together in a way in which this is the natural progression of this relationship. It has to be because of something else. It has to be because of this nefarious thing. It has to be because of this overarching theme of I'm not good enough as a black person, or black women ain't good enough for me, so I'm gonna go ahead and get me a white woman, or, you know, we can't be for black liberation, we can't be for black equality if we marry white people, right? So if you see somebody who's out here working, even if you see somebody who's out here working for the movement, who's actually out here putting in the work every day, suddenly because of who they love and who they go home to, that makes their work null and void. See, it's like this. So it's this sort of like subtle shit. And people be like, man, like it sound good. Like he making a lot of motherfucking sense right now, man. Like, yo, Span, you kind of tripping, bro. Like he making sense, man. Like this shit click with me. Because you're not listening with a critical ear. And because, like, if you've been, like, watching Umar Johnson up to this point, like, you know, I got, like, a cursory knowledge of Umar Johnson. Like, I've seen, like, people with posting Umar Johnson videos on my timeline all the time for the last few years. Like, a few buddies of mine have gone to see Umar Johnson in person when he comes his ashy ass to Detroit. Like, they paid to go see this motherfucker. They've donated to this punk-ass school that he ain't came up with yet. They ain't seen the results of they fucking monies yet. So, like, I'm listening to Umar Johnson and knowing who Jermaine Shumake, Umar Johnson, whoever the fuck. Like, I'm listening to this, like, yeah, I see what you're doing. But because he's got doctor, all he had to do was put that doctor in front of it and be relatively articulate. Niggas will eat that shit up. It's a whole lot of people that will eat that shit up. Right? Frederick Douglass isn't one of the greatest people who walked the earth because he married a white woman. He said that. If he hadn't have married this white woman, he would be considered one of the greatest black people who ever walked this. Like, he said that. Because of that, he's knocked down a peg. Come on, bruh. Come on. This actually, like, should have been. This is what this should have been.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk-Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories.
That's what this should have been, right? Put doctor in front of your name, some motherfuckers will believe any goddamn thing. They don't even try to decipher what kind of fucking doctor you are. What did you study to become a doctor? Are you a medical doctor? Are you a dentistry doctor? Are you a philosophy doctor? Are you a historical doctor? Are you a, like, what kind of doctor are you? Because that kind of makes it, it kind of colors how I'm supposed to take this shit that you're talking about if you don't even have a doctor in this subject. Like, yo, you just kind of like a lay person like me. I can study this shit the same way you did. Right? You're not necessarily an expert. You're just kind of talking. What did Umar Johnson get his doctorate in? Does anybody know? Like, does anybody know? Where did he get his doctorate from? What school did he go to get that doctorate? Does anybody know what his dissertation was on? Does anybody know? Put doctor in front of a dude's name, motherfuckers will start believing anything. And let them get away with a lot of shit. Excuse me. Let them get away with a lot of shit. Now, talking about Umar Johnson. Excuse me. And some of the stupid shit that he says, because this isn't the first time he said, like, some, you know, this is a 39 fucking minute long interview. I'm not about to play that whole shit. But he wasn't the only hotel motherfucker that they've had on the show just this week. Just this week. So we have another person who was on their doctor, Wesley Muhammad, right? Now, Dr. Wesley Muhammad was on The Breakfast Club earlier this week, and Dr. Wesley Muhammad was actually on there saying that weed is a feminizing the black male and masculinizing the black woman. Oh, shit. Yeah, man, that happened. He said that. So let me go. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play this video and I'm going to let you guys hear this for yourselves. Check this dumb shit out.
You think they're using the drugs to feminize men? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because
you also say masculinize the women too. So you
absolutely. Absolutely. Marijuana. This enhanced marijuana feminizes the black man and masculinizes the black woman, because the THC, it does so many things. The high potency THC from the plant itself, from the weed itself, it lowers the testosterone. Understand what that means. We have a wrong conception, DJ Envy, of testosterone. Mm-hmm. Testosterone ain't a libido. It's a libido, ain't a sex hormone. Testosterone is testosterone with another biochemical, serotonin. These two are the biochemical basis of a man's drive for power.
Is that right? Who knew that? How did he come up with that? Hey, Dr. Muhammad, what is your doctorate in? What did you go to school to study? Ah. Islamic studies was what this dude studied. He is not a medical doctor. He is not a medical doctor. As a matter of fact, if you've been listening to the Spare Report, you've heard of this dude before. I think I talked about him either a year or two ago. And he might have been like a ass hat of the week or some shit. Right? Talked about this dude before. He's been saying this shit for a while. He now has a book that he's selling, that he's putting out, that he's trying to get everybody to buy. Like, and it was another thing too. Like, if you ask this dude for the sources of where he's getting his information from, guess what he'll tell you? You got to buy the book first. Luckily, we've seen the sermon. Some of those sources that he uses for that book, he also used in the sermon that he did maybe a year or two ago that we played here on the show. Well, we know that some of that shit is incomplete. Some of that shit is questionable as well. Not only that, like, if we're going to talk about weed and weed use amongst black people, why is it that only black people are being effeminized by this weed? Why is it only, or black men are being effeminized? It's funny how this works, right? So the weed itself is specialized in the fact that it will effeminize the male and it will masculinize the female. And you know what this, like, the underlying tone is this. And this goes back into homosexuality and it goes to homophobia and everything else. And like, I wish people would just stop slurping this shit up. But the overarching message is this. Like, there's a lot of people who believe that there's a lot more homosexuals out here now than there ever has been. Like, we've never seen as many homosexuals. They're like, more and more people are turning gay. Like, this is the thing. This leads to the discussion about whether or not people are turning gay, right? And so they need a scapegoat. It's the food, it's the water, it's the weed. Something is turning these people gay. And we have to get them off of these things so we see less gay people. That's what this ultimately starts to turn into. When the overarching theme is this, there are no more gay people here now than there ever has been. The only difference in the amount of gay people that we have then and that we have now is that there's a lot more of them who ain't hiding no motherfucking more. They have no problems being who they are and expressing who they are. Without any equivocations, but like they're not trying to make you comfortable. They're trying to make themselves comfortable. They want to be who the fuck they are with no apologies. That's the only difference. That is the only fucking difference. And so when you got people like Dr. Umar Johnson, when you got people like Dr. Wesley Muhammad getting on the airways, they're on a, like the Breakfast Club has millions of people listening to them every fucking day. Like they got access to all the major, you know, markets like Chicago, Detroit, New York, LA. Well, maybe not LA, Miami, Indianapolis, Atlanta. Like they got access to all these major markets. They have millions of listeners. And then if you look at their YouTube videos, like, yo, even if you're not even like in a market where the Breakfast Club is, you can go on YouTube and you can watch this shit on YouTube. So millions of people are listening to this shit every day. And then the host on those shows don't challenge a motherfucking thing that these kind of these people say. And that's what makes it dangerous. Right? They'll have a dude like Dr. Wesley Muhammad. They'll have a dude like Umar Johnson on, and then they'll have somebody else like, say, Jamila Lemieux, right? Now, or they'll have someone like maybe even Feminista Jones. They'll have these women on there after having like chummied up with these motherfuckers here, and then they'll come on, they'll have these other women, they'll have these women come on, they'll have these people who are diametrically opposed to this shit and act like everything is fucking cool. It's not cool. It's not. So you start legitimizing in much the same way that we talked about Tommy Lauren and her being on The Breakfast Club. I mean, not on, well, she's not been on The Breakfast Club, but The Daily Show and all these different people who have dangerous fucking messages, and we're giving them mainstream platforms. Alex Jones, we just had this whole thing with Alex Jones over on NBC with Megyn Kelly. Like, having these people who have these dangerous fucking views going on, spilling a lot of this crazy shit and putting them in front of millions of people, validating they bullshit. Validating it. So I said, fuck it, man. Yo, if y'all, why don't I just start calling myself Dr. Span? Goddamn it. Maybe motherfuckers will believe me when I talk. Maybe if I presented myself, just dropped the mister and went Dr. Span, like, yeah, I'm going to start calling myself Dr. Span. I'm going to change my Twitter handle and all that shit. Dr. Span. Just change my shit up, man. Like, yo, and just totally like switch it up. And maybe people will give me more credence in what I'm saying. All I got to do is put the doctor in front of it and people will like actually listen and pay attention and take heed. It's wild, man. It's wild. Listen to more. Here's more of this motherfucker Wesley Muhammad dude. Check this out.
High THC is the signature of dominant men. High testosterone is the signature and prerequisite for a man's drive for power. And be clear, masculinity is not about a man's sex drive. Masculinity is about a man's power drive. Testosterone is a biochemical source of a man's drive for power. It also is testosterone. It's the chemical scalpel that literally sculpts the masculinity of the male fetus, the body, and the brain. You lower testosterone, the body will, in the fetus, it will default to a feminized form.
Biology 101. The default is female, bruh. The default is female. Biology 101. So, again, man, we gotta stop. We gotta stop giving, like, air to questionable niggas, man. Like, we really do. Like, there used to be a time, man, and I'm old enough now, I guess, to remember a time where, like, you know, crazy niggas used to just, like, we used to, like, kind of walk past them at the library. We just kind of walk past them on the street corner, and we were able to just, like, you know, like, they were relegated to their little spot, right? Excuse me. They were relegated to their little spot. Now you can't escape them. Now, like, they're given platforms as if what they're saying is legitimate. And it isn't. To anybody who's actually been paying attention, to anybody who knows a little bit about anything, you know this is some bullshit. So, yeah, man, like, It's Dr. Spam, man. I done gave up. Like, you know what? I'm dropping the mister. It's Dr. Spam, bruh. From now on, it's Dr. Spam. You will refer to me as Dr. Babatunde Adarare Shoemake. Oh, man. Yeah, man. We got to stop, man. We got to stop with the bullshit. We got to stop letting people get away with giving us bullshit messages simply because they put doctor in front of their name. And we got to be more critical about the voices that we listen to. We got to be more aware of the bullshit coming across our screens every day and not take everything fucking in. We really do. We really do. So, yeah, man, that's the show. I got to get out of here, man. I think my wife is calling me. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages, man. I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave me those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond on the show as well, man. Also, Crowdcast. The show is broadcast live on Crowdcast. If you want to check these shows out live, man, subscribe to the Spam Report on Crowdcast, man, and check the show out live. You can call into the show. You can interact in the chat room, man. Go ahead and do that, and you can be a part of the show as we do this thing live, man. I keep forgetting to mention that, but yeah, man, go to crowdcast.io and look up the Spam Report, man. Go ahead and register, subscribe, and get alerted when we go live, man. And you can check these shows out live as we do them, man. Real talk. Also, man, iTunes and our Stitcher Radio reviews, 5 stars preferably. Go ahead and hook your boy up. Spread the word. Let other people know that you like what you're getting over here at the Spam Report Podcast, man. It's very much appreciated when you guys do that, man. Also, go ahead and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, Mr_Span. So go ahead and do that. Follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week. And for all of your Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. Vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like and as much as you like. And it's always appreciated here. Trust me, man. Trust me. And yeah, and that's pretty much it, man. So yeah, I gotta my wife has been calling me and I ain't been picking up the phone, man. Y'all gonna get me in trouble, but I gotta get out of here, fam. So until next time, y'all, peace.